Y'all like that? I mean, that's what the Spirit of God will do to make you feel like Superman, Supergirl, like you can do anything. Just blow you in, jump a building. Man, Jesus walked on water. Hey. And they're like, oh, that was Jesus. Okay. All right, so y'all got my movie ready? My video ready? Okay, so this, don't play it yet. Don't play it yet. I got to tell everybody, if you have not noticed, everyone's gone. Just poof. Okay, the church is not closing, and, you know, Paul has not left forever, and Angel hasn't left me, and the worship team didn't leave Stephen, and so things are okay. We're going to be here next week. Hey, what you heard, yeah. That's the way it works in Minden. That ain't what I heard. I heard something else. I've been here my whole life. I know how this place works, man. They make up some stuff just to have something to talk about. See? Yeah, he does get fired every Sunday. Where's our most recent praise and worship leader that just spoke? Anyhow, Paul and Ginger are on vacation, for those of you that don't know. So we're going to be praying that they're restored and refreshed when they come back and ready to do some work. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? Y'all think so? I mean, like physical work. Jessica knows. She looks at it every day. I mean, we're up in that building. Got a lot of work needs to be done. We got plenty that needs to be happening. Y'all may hear, may or may not hear. Depends on what I find out. May or may not hear. You know, we may need some more chairs and things like that. So there may be an opportunity to give yet again. Yet again, sow some seed. And, you know, maybe buy a chair for you and your family, and maybe one more for the person that you know needs to be here. But anyway, we're still working on that. The sanctuary, Stephen and them about have a stage. Stephen, Tom, and Jeremy, they've been working. There's almost a stage there. There's some lighting that's been pulled up. Mr. Kenny and Miss Allie have hung a lot of pieces of pallet board. The ladies have been, they're just painting everything. I mean, I don't know what it, I mean, I knew my wife did it, but I just did not realize that every lady I know wants to paint something. I mean, what is that? I mean, just be painting it. It's a frame, okay? It's a picture frame. You bought it in that color, and you want to put another color on it. Why didn't you just buy it in red? I mean, I don't get it. It means something when you paint it, I guess. Make it your own. So anyway, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, lots of stuff happening out there. So like Jessica said, if you want to get involved, it's real easy. We got plenty to do. We can put you to work. Me, on the other hand, I don't know how to do anything, so I just kind of walk around, drink coffee, and talk to everybody, because, I mean, you put a screwdriver in my hand, somebody might get hurt, you know, so it's pretty bad, pretty bad. But anyway, Paul and Ginger are on vacation, and we'll be praying for them, and Miss Angel, as you all know, is not here today. She hurt herself yesterday. She was at the new building, and she twisted her ankle. I say twisted, but what's the name of that bone? Fibula or whatever, whatever it is, one of them bones that comes down into your ankle that kind of hits the joint, the last half inch of it or so, there's a crack right through there. So it's a clean break. We're good. It's just it's got to be immobilized for a long time. And we're believing that it's going to get better like really fast because there's like clothes that need to be washed. Right, JoJo? Yeah, yeah. And then there's dishes that need to be washed. Right, JoJo? And there's meals that need to be cooked, right, JoJo? Meals need to be cooked, yeah, yeah. So we want Mama back quick, so y'all be praying for her. Anyway, huh? He's just good with pizza, yeah, that would be him. Yeah, not me, I want some peas, cornbread, yeah. So anyhow, she fell yesterday, and she's okay. She's good. We just have to keep it immobilized, and it's in a splint, and they may put it in a boot or something. She's got crutches. You know, you really don't know how uncoordinated you are until you get crutches, and then you realize how uncoordinated you can be. So she's doing well. She's doing good, though. We actually, though, because of the technology we have these days, we actually, you know, have a video of Angel, you know, of what happened to her. So, yeah. So, if y'all could be sure to turn the sound up so everybody can hear. Let's do that again. I like it. We got time. One more. No, that's it. So I sent this. I sent that to Angel, Ginger, and Paul. Just because Stephen, man, Stephen's not always funny, but when he's funny, he's funny. Man, I watch that thing so much, I just laugh. That's hilarious. Sent it to Ginger, Angel, and Paul on a text, a group text. And Paul texts back, "You're a dead man." You know? And I'm sure once she gets that foot better and everything's good, she's going to take it and shove it right up in my, and break it off in there, and we'll have to cast it again. So y'all be praying for Miss Angel and, of course, for Paul and Ginger, and praying for the building. We got enough help, got enough money, you know, big thing that we're doing here. I believe that we're already in there. I mean, in our hearts, we're already there. And I just think it'll be nice, you know, for us to be in the new place. It gives us an opportunity to have a little longer arms, be able to touch more people, do more, right? Because we're about doing. We're not about sitting. We're about getting up and doing something. So it gives us more opportunity to do that. It'll be fun. So with the 15 minutes I got left, we'll talk real fast about the Word. See, I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to go into the message or if I'm just going to leave it alone. You know, that's where I'm at right now. Paul talked last week about, you know, he's been talking about authority a little bit and power and flowing in the power of God and speaking the name of Jesus and driving out demons and dealing with sickness and all that kind of stuff. And we've been talking about authority on Wednesday nights and disciple walk for a couple, 3 weeks now. And Chris, y'all know Chris Lewis. Chris brought out, you know, one night he was talking about, you know, how people don't use their authority because they're kind of caught up with something that they've done wrong or they don't feel worthy. And I've kind of been digging in that thing for a couple of weeks now. You know, how it's ingrained in us that we're so unworthy. You know, that we're so not worthy to receive whatever God has for us. And although that would be a true statement, it's not really what the Bible teaches us. The Bible shows us that whatever unworthiness we might have had or any unholiness we may be operating in or any unrighteousness that may be in our lives is completely and totally substituted by the rightness of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came to restore that was taken. You know, the Bible even calls him the second Adam. You know, you have the first Adam, which is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but then Jesus came to restore all of that back to us. You know, Jesus is always in the restoring business. You know, John 3:16, will you pull that up for me, Hutton? It's not in the deal, but everybody knows it, right? John 3:16, once Hutton gets it up, do y'all know that scripture? Y'all ever heard that one? Yeah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, he gave Jesus so that people would believe in him and not perish but have everlasting life. But yeah, whenever we go to God, we always think he's mad. He's upset. Go to the next scripture, verse 17. Don't nobody know this one. Y'all know that one, but y'all don't know this one, do you? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And for some reason, it is engraved in mankind that when we come to God, we have to come in a condemned attitude, that God is mad at us about something, and God himself is just going to either slap us, kick us, or spit on us because of what we've done. Does this make sense? But the Bible teaches us over and over and over again. I don't have time to get into it. I mean, we're finna go home and go get something to eat just in a few minutes. I don't have time to get into all of it, but the Bible over and over and over again talks about how God wants to restore us back to where we're supposed to be. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. So if the unrighteousness is gone, I think Paul talked about it last week, if the unrighteousness is gone, then there's nothing left but righteousness. See that? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not like if we go to God and confess that we did something, he's like, yeah, shame on you. Shame on you. You shouldn't have done that, you piece of blankety blank. But for some reason, in society today, And I know what the reason is. It's because churches have preached it over and over and over again because it's just so easy to talk about how sinful people are because we all sin and we all fall short. And so I could easily open up a message and talk about how bad sin is and sin and talk about sin, and each and every one of you will relate to it because all of us have to deal with sin on a daily basis. And so it's easy to sit back and have a message about sin, so then you could take them to salvation, sing a song for 20 or 30 minutes, have everybody come up, get saved for the fourth time this month, and then go back, and then we feel like we've had church. No, that's not the case. That's not what this thing was here for. What we're here to do, what I'm here to tell you, is that if Jesus said, if you confess your sins to God, then He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, period, done. Don't get set back thinking you're not good enough. He is looking for the opportunity to not only forgive you, but to set you right. Because it says right here that He's faithful and just to forgive. Now, we dance around this thing so quick sometimes. So that means if I confess my sin, number one, He's faithful to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from my unrighteousness, and He's just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So whenever we go to God with sin and we ask Him for forgiveness, not only is He faithful to forgive us, He is just, or He is right in forgiving us. It's not like He's having to bend the rules for the church to make it okay for you to ask Him for forgiveness. It's not like He has to sprinkle magic pixie dust on you and He's doing something He shouldn't be doing. No! He is anticipating the opportunity to forgive because that is the just thing to happen. That is the thing that sets things right. That's when everything is put back the way it was supposed to be. So whenever we sin and we mess up, it's not like God's like, I mean, even if you think about Adam and Eve, right after it happened with Adam and Eve, what was the next thing that happened? Do y'all remember? Right after Adam and Eve sinned and they covered themselves, y'all remember, and they did put the fig leaves on everything, like, oh, we're not. You know, so they put the fig leaves on all of it and covered all of it up. The very next thing that happened was God came looking for Adam, walking in the cool of the day, almost like, man, where you at? Adam, where'd you go? Now, do you think God knew what happened? You're dang right He did. But did He come to get on to Adam and fuss at Adam or anything? No, He was looking for His friend Adam. Where you at, man? And so many times in the Christian life, we'll mess up and we'll step back and we'll try to draw our, just like Adam and Eve, we try to hide ourselves from God, like our sin, okay, well, I got sin, so I got to hide myself from God. Whenever He's sitting on the edge of His chair waiting to set it right, He's faithful and He's just in His forgiving. When He forgives us, it's right. He's able to set things right. Where am I going? I ain't got no time. Go to Luke chapter 15. While you're going there, I'll talk to you about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He who knew no sin, He made Him, talking about God, or He, talking about God, made Him, talking about Jesus. So He, oh, you went there? Cool. For He made Him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness is simply being set right. It's being put in right standing with God. It's being in the right place, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why 1 John said that He would cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Why is that? Because He's putting you back in your right place. You're supposed to be there, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And righteousness just simply means right standing. In fact, sometimes the word righteousness is translated as justified. Right? So you're justified like a court of law. Somebody says, hey, you messed up. No, the judge came in and said, I was justified. I'm clear. I was good in what I did. The dude was in my house. I shot him. Justified, right? I mean, so that's kind of how God looks at this thing. He makes you righteous. He makes you justified, which if you break down justified, it means just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified just as if I'd never sinned. It's the way God puts me. Whenever I accept Jesus, or any of us accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior, He acts as if, just as if, sin never existed. It's like it's not there. It's gone. And then we mess up. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our... It's gone. Go back to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is a story of two boys and their daddy. It's called the prodigal son, right? I'm going to go super fast. You ready? What verse am I starting in? 11. Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said, Father, give unto me the portion of goods that falls unto me. So he divided them in his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all things together and journeyed for a far country. And there was, and there he wasted all of his possession with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent, when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Okay, now let's check this thing out. First of all, this son said, I want something from you, Father. How many of us have gone to God? Hey, God, I need something. Right? All right, so this is this case. The boy does that, and he goes, and God gives him whatever it is. He spends it all, right? Y'all with me? What verse was that? 14? 15. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of the country. Now, he's broke, busted, disgusted. He's not going back to daddy to try to find another way out because he's in a land he's not supposed to be in. How do we know that? Because he puts himself with that guy in the land, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. Now, Jesus was talking to Jews whenever he was doing this. It's not right for a Jewish man to have anything to do with a pig, okay? So Jesus was basically telling the folks that were listening, that were all Jews, they were saying, okay, look, this guy was some folk he ain't supposed to be with. Y'all with me? Is this too fast? Y'all listening quick, ain't you? That's good. That's good. All right, verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods and the swine and ate, with the pods that the swine had ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread to eat and some to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. And so he arose, he came to his father. But when he was still great way far off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and put sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us all eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead, is now alive, and he's lost, and he's found, and they began to be merry. Woo-hoo! We've all heard this story before, I'm sure. But what I want to bring out is that this is just not a salvation message. This is something that happens to the Christian on almost a daily basis. We ask God for something that's part of our inheritance. We get it. We get happy because we got it. We then tend to take ourselves away from God because we don't have anything to ask Him for no more. We take ourselves away from God and we begin to bind ourselves to a citizen or a person or people that we ain't supposed to be around. And then that which God has given us, we have squandered, lost. We find ourselves hungry, busted, and disgusted, and don't want to go back to God and ask for forgiveness. So what we do is we just sit there and hang out with the pigs. And I'm not calling your friends pigs. I'm just saying we hang out with the pigs and we hang with the pigs and we hang with the pigs and we hang with the pigs. I mean, I go through this process almost every day where I look at myself as the prodigal son who has been wasteful with something that God has given me. I've missed the mark. I've sinned. I'm not really where I'm supposed to be. I've not done what I'm supposed to do. And so I look at myself from that standpoint. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I got to come to myself. Because it says there that the son just came to himself. It's like, man, what am I doing? This is stupid. Come to myself and go back to the father. And watch what the father did. Was it verse 17? Is that right? Let's see here. Let's see. No, that's when he came to himself. Yeah, 20. Oh, there it is. He rose, came to his father, but he was great ray off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What's 21 say? And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, no longer worthy to be called your son. And in verse 22, the father said, you dang right, boy. You ain't right. You took your stuff and you squandered it. You spent it on riotous living, prodigal living. You ain't got no place around here no more. Right? No, he didn't say that. He didn't even talk to the boy. He didn't even act like the sin even happened. He didn't even acknowledge that the sin was there. What'd he do? He said, bring me a robe. Now, the robe represents righteousness, right standing. Bring a robe and put it on him. That's my son, and he's going to be in right standing with me. You're not going to sit here and make him look like he's not mine. He's mine. Put the robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. What's a ring mean? Ring means authority. Back whenever Pharaoh, y'all remember, what was the story? Joseph, he went from the pit to the palace. He was in the palace with the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh kind of put him in charge of everything. Y'all remember the story? He gave him a ring in Genesis. I can't remember the chapter, but it's in Genesis 34, I think. He gave him a ring. Why did he give him a ring? Because the ring in olden times represented authority, is what it meant. You ever seen Dune, the movie Dune? Have y'all ever seen Dune? With the Kwisatz Haderach and Harkonnens and House Atreides? No, not the one with the rock, the one from 1984 with Sting in it. Okay. No, not Sting the wrestler, no. Sting from The Police, the singer. You don't have to put on a red light. Roxanne. Anyway, in the House of Atreides, the dad dies. He's Duke Leto Atreides. He dies. All right? One of the servants who actually killed him got the ring from him because he wore this ring. It was a signet ring that had the stamp for the family, and they would put the wax stuff on there and stamp it in there, and that's authority. That's me talking. He took that and he gave it to the dude's son. Why? Because he was passing the authority of the household to the son. So this ring that's here is the authority. So the father, kid comes back, done spent everything of all of his. The father didn't even speak to him about the sin. You're right with me. Here's your authority to where you can handle yourself in my kingdom and in my household, and you could say what's right and what ain't. Then it says to put sandals on his feet. Sandals on your feet don't sound like a whole lot to us right now. But I tell you the truth. If you walk around Minden, Louisiana without your shoes on, it hurts a lot. There's places you won't go because it's going to hurt your feet. Like in our old house, like there was this little patch where a pear tree used to be, and little prickly little things up in there. Like I walked around it because the rest of it was St. Augustine, but there was this one little spot just had them little, and it get on you and them little things. You got to pick them out of you. Out of your foot, and it hurt. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you've been there. Me and you. That's it. And so anyway, you know, so it was kind of hard on your feet, you know, but the sandals back then represented not only that you were no longer a servant or a slave, but you had freedom to go wherever you wanted to go. So here's us. We asked God for something. We got it. We floated away from him. Now we feel like we can't come back to him, all right? So it gets so bad that we go to God like, oh, Lord, I messed up. I'm so sorry. God's like, what are you talking about, man? Get on up here. Confess that thing. I'll make you righteous again, put the robe on you. I'll give you your authority back. So, in my name, you can cast out demons. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You speak with new tongues. You do all that stuff. Hey, here we go. You're right back in place. And I'm going to put shoes on your feet. You could go everywhere I ask you to go. Now you're right back in the plan of God. So God is not looking to hit us upside the head whenever we mess up, y'all. He is waiting for us to come in and say, Lord, you know what? I messed up. I missed it. I need your forgiveness. And God is happy to do it. Isaiah 43, where's it at? Hook me up, Hutton. Hutton, come on, hook me up, baby. Oh, there it is. And this is talking about God. This is Jehovah talking right here. The big man, the I am talking here. What'd he say? I am he who what? Blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, except for the really bad ones that you do, and I'm going to make sure I remember those. But that's the way we come at him. So what's the deal, Greg? What are you talking about? Well, me and Paul were talking the other day, and we finna go. Y'all don't worry. We finna get out of here. Me and Paul were talking the other day. We going over, you know, what I've been like, kind of like looking at this right here, and Paul's like, man, I don't have to deal with that. I said, what are you talking about? And he's like, God's forgive me. He forgave me. That's it. I'm done. I'm like, well, dude, that's not me. And I know some of you may be that way to where, hey, God's forgiven me. I'm cool. I'll see y'all later. Bye. But me, like, I have to deal with this on a continual basis because the enemy constantly is reminding me of all the bad stuff that I did, like 1992. And then he'll take me back to 1998. He'll drop 2003 on me. He'll drop, 2001. He'll put that one on me. And then 1989, he'll reach back up in there and get that. Then he'll get like 5 minutes ago, and then he'll grab yesterday and last month. And he just puts all this stuff up in my face. And I'm constantly dealing with what I used to do and not feeling like I'm good enough to do what God needs me to do, right? And so that's kind of where I'm at. You know, so some of you might be in a spot where, hey, God's forgiven me and I'm good, but that ain't me. I have a hard time laying hands on my kids and praying for them whenever, like, 5 minutes before I was like, oh, just bent out of shape or, you know, all caught up in some sin somewhere. I got a hard time thinking that God's going to let me do that. So I have to do this prodigal son thing constantly. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. And God's always going to be faithful and he's going to be just. He's going to forgive us. He's going to set us right back where we're supposed to be. He's going to slap that ring right on our hands. He's going to slap them shoes on our feet, put us kind of back where we're supposed to go and say, all right, boy, pat, pat. Go on. Go do it. Go. So don't ever think that God is holding a grudge against you, that God's mad at you, that God wants to, you know, he can't wait for the opportunity to come and pop you upside your head because you've been such a knucklehead. That's not the case. He's anticipating the opportunity to forgive you. He anticipates the opportunity, like this father did, to throw himself around you, hug you, put that robe back there, that ring on you, shoes on your feet. Just kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. You know, heaven's always rejoicing. Why? Because God's always forgiven. Always. He never stops. The only reason why we walk in unforgiveness or feel like we're not good enough or unworthy is because we don't come to him and we don't understand who he is. Amen. We just have to set some things right, y'all. There's some bad teaching around here in all types of denominations and non-denominations, just bad teaching. We got to know our word. We got to understand what it says. We got to dig down into it. You got to find a church that will give you the word the way it's supposed to be, the way they see it to be. Then you have to be like the Bereans that are found in Acts. You have to go home and study it out for yourself and make sure what you're hearing is right instead of just gobbling up whatever they're throwing at you. There's been a lot of wrong that's been taught over the years. Lots of it. Lots of it. I've even said things that have not been right that I've had to correct myself on. I mean, I've stood in other pulpits and had said some things that were not right. They weren't in the Word. You can't. You know, it's kind of like Stephen with his music stuff. If it ain't in the Word, you know, I'm sorry. You know, that's not what it says. I love you, but that ain't what it says. So be sure you know what your Word says. Be sure that you understand that God is ready to have you in a place where you can use His power, where you can use His authority, where you can be just like Jesus. I mean, just like Jesus, every last one of you. Not just Paul, not just me, not just the preacher down the road, and not just Jesse Duplantis. No, you. You have been given the power and the authority to operate. Don't let the enemy talk you out of that. Don't do it. Because you'll be still sitting in the same spot 30 years from now wondering when God's going to let you do something. Amen. Kind of heavy this morning, huh? Yeah, just a little heavy. Stephen got something, I think. Yeah, come on up here, man. No, you don't have to. Let's just all stand. We're going to go home. We're going home. God's already moved. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence.